Mishnah of Zot. The halacha is that if somebody lives in a house whose roof is technically made up of valid tzachach, that it's made of wooden boards which are flat so they can't become tomei, and it's wood so it came from the ground, and he lives in that house the entire year round, and the roof is valid tzachach, the halacha is that that is not considered valid tzachach, because that it was made for the house, so it wasn't made for the sukkah at all, and you're effectively living in the house. At the end of the day, on sukkahs, you have to live under tzachach, and you cannot call the roof of your house tzachach. Midrabbanon, everybody agrees that wooden beams which are at least 4 tefachim wide cannot be used as tzachach, even if that's not on your house all year round. If, let's say, you build up a whole new sukkah for sukkahs, and now you want to place wooden beams on top of the roof to be used as tzachach, Midrabbanon, that is forbidden, in case one comes to use the roof of his house as the tzachach, and he comes to just eating and sleeping in his house over sukkahs. As well as that, everybody agrees that wooden beams which are narrower than 3 tefachim, they can be used as tzachach, since they will not be confused with the beams which are sometimes on roofs of houses, since the beams on roofs of houses are much wider. So if the beams are only 3 tefachim or less, then they can be used as tzachach. The machlokes in our Mishnah concerns beams which are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Masechta Matan Asarim, one can use these boards which are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide as his tzachach. Just like in many areas of halacha, 4 tefachim is considered to be a significant distance, and anything less than that is considered insignificant. So to over here, it will not be confused with the beams of our actual house. However, Rabbi Meir forbids this, because he holds that if it's between 3 and 4 tefachim, it can still be confused with beams of a house. It's similar to that size. Only if it is less than 3 tefachim wide, only then is it considered insignificant, for example, like we find in the halachas of Lovud. Lovud is the principle that anything within 3 tefachim of something else, we view it as if that's not a gap at all. We view it as if it's connected, so you see that 3 tefachim is considered insignificant. And therefore, only if it is less than 3 tefachim, may the beams be used as his tzachach. Now, the second half of this Mishnah discusses an important halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, a tradition which we have dating back to Moshe from Har Sinai, and that is the concept known as Doifen Akuma. And this unique concept, which is halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, the concept states that if you have, let's say you've got 4 walls of your sukkah, and you've got tzachach on the roof, but the tzachach does not reach the wall, so if there is a wide gap between the end of the tzachach and the wall of the sukkah, then that wall is not considered to be part of the sukkah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the sukkah will not be kosher. It could be that it is a very valid sukkah because there are another 3 walls, and you don't need 4 walls. But if one of the 3 walls is separated from the tzachach, then that wall is not considered to be part of the sukkah. However, now comes the concept of Doifen Akuma. If, let's say, the tzachach stops within 4 amos of the wall, but instead of there being an empty space between the end of the tzachach and the wall, there is a material which is not valid to be tzachach. So let's say it didn't go from the ground, or it can become tomei, and that is placed on the roof in between the end of the tzachach and the wall. So in that case, we say Doifen Akuma, which means that we view it as if the wall which we're talking about over here, which isn't right next to the tzachach, as if the wall bends at the top, and the top of the wall reaches the tzachach. We sort of view the part of the roof which is invalid tzachach as an extension of the wall, such that we can view the wall as if it bent, and the top of the wall is going sort of diagonally, the wall, and the top of it is at the edge of the tzachach. And that way this wall can be counted as part of the sukkah, and if it's the third wall, then it will make a difference to whether the sukkah is valid or not. And again, this is a unique halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, and Misha tells us that Nasan Aloy HaNeser, if he puts on it, on the roof, a wooden board, Shuroch Varbot Tfachim, which is 4 Tfachim wide, and the truth is, it could even be up to 4 Amos wide. It could be that the Mishnah talks about Tfachim, because the previous part of the Mishnah concerned a board which was just under 4 Tfachim wide. Be as it may, this Halacha Mish Mesinai applies up to 4 Amos, so Kesheir, the sukkah, will be valid, that wall is considered to be part of the sukkah. However, very importantly, the Mishnah adds, Ulvachli Shantachtov, as long as he does not sleep underneath that part of the sukkah. And that makes a lot of sense, because the whole concept of Nakuma means that we view it as if the wall is sort of going diagonally, and the top of the wall reaches the edge of the tzachach. So if you're sleeping underneath that wooden board, you're effectively sleeping underneath the wall, you're sort of outside of the sukkah. And so the sukkah is still valid, and the wall is considered to be part of the sukkah, but that part of the sukkah underneath the wooden board is not considered to be a valid part of the sukkah.